Just by way of a little housekeeping business here, for the next 2 weeks, there will be no Wednesday night service. And the reason for that is Thursday night is Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, and so we will be having the Christmas Eve services next Thursday. And then the following Thursday, we'll be having a New Year's Eve service here at 7 o'clock. So the next two Wednesday nights are canceled in lieu of the Thursday night, both Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So just make a note of that so that if you show up here, you might tell others too, and we didn't get raptured. I mean, we could, but I don't want you to freak out. Also, we have these flyers out in the foyer, and the reason we printed them is so that you guys could hand them out. It gives the Christmas Eve service times and all on it. It gives a little map on the back of it. It's a great tool to hand out to people. You're out and about, you're shopping, you're praying. You can hand somebody something and invite them to church. And who knows, it may break some ice where you can share Jesus with them right there. And then you can pray with them and they come to Christ right there on the spot. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So, but this is just a tool for you to help get out the announcements. And, you know, people are prone to come to church two times a year. They're kind of open, more receptive. And that is Christmas and Easter. So let's take full advantage of that. Tonight, let's get out our Bibles. We're going to have communion. And the title of the message is From the Stable to the Table. And Luke chapter 22. Let's turn there together. Luke 22. Let's begin reading in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Jesus said, Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. And so they said to him, Where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, Behold, when you have entered a city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters, and then you shall say to the master of that house, So the teacher says to you, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. And so they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, verse 15, With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after the supper saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. This time of year is a time where people talk about the birth of Jesus Christ in the stable. We give gifts this time of year, but the ultimate gift, I think you would agree with me, was the gift that God gave of His Son, who on that first Christmas was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lied there in a manger. Not in a fancy parlor or palace, but there in the stable. Over the next 33 years, much would happen in his life that would lead him from that beginning there in a stable as a baby to the table that we read here of tonight, in which the Last Supper was served. You see, as we come to this table, as you see on that table, it says, In remembrance of me. That's why we come, to remember Him. It's a time of remembering the difference that Christ has made in our lives, past, present, and thank God, future. We have hope here tonight, and we can sing in the middle of economic crisis and world cataclysmic events and the ice caps melting. And you know what, man? We can sing. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. We can sing and rejoice and shout praises to the Lord, because you see, our hope isn't in the polar ice caps, huh? Our hope is in Jesus. You see, we look and we don't need a ghost to take us there. Christmas passed. Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, we read, therefore, speaking of Jesus, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Jesus Christ came in the world, humbled himself, as Philippians tells us, and took on the form of a man, and he was born there in that stable, that he might live among us and as the spotless Lamb of God. You know, whenever a baby's born, I mean, it's so precious. And they're so sweet. I mean, you see them and you take them home. And there's something about a newborn baby, and you lay them in that cradle or in that crib, you know. And there they are. And they're so soft and tiny, and the little features of their hands. And they have that baby smell to them. And you just go, oh, man, it's that baby smell. And there's something about it just does good to your soul to look at them there laying in that position. And just the helplessness and the sweetness until about midnight, when mom's fast asleep and that little baby transforms into this, you know, screaming maniac and tensing and clenching their hands that were so soft, but now they're hard. And you go, something's wrong here. Yeah, there's that sin feature. They're upset even when they're fed and changed. If they get put down sometimes, you know. If they don't want put down, they let you know they don't want put down. But you see, Jesus, there was no sin. There was no sin in him. He was the first truly spotless, sinless child. No sin nature in him. And because of that, we have been sanctified, you see, through the offering of that sinless Son of God, that Lamb of God, made possible, of course, by his birth. His death was made meaningful by his life. When we look at this gift that kept on giving, that no matter what happened, no matter how people treated him, he continued to treat them properly and to demonstrate love at every turn of wickedness and evil, you see. Living sinlessly, giving gifts to all who would believe on him, who would receive him, all who would unwrap this precious Savior, this Son of God. He comes to this point in his life and he desires a few last hours with his disciples to instruct them in some of the last things. And he says, hey, as often as you do this do in remembrance of me. Oh, do what? Oh, to celebrate this communion service. Don't forget me. There's something I want you to do so that you never forget the gift of God. So that you don't forget that the cross that I'm about to go to and die on for you. I want you to look back on this and remember the love that was demonstrated there. So this do in remembrance, it looks back to the cross, Christmas past. It also looks, though, at Christmas present. You see, because this remembrance, you see, as we look back on the cross, also speaks of an entrance into the fellowship that we're to have with Him and enjoy daily. You see, the very word communion, what's that word communion mean? It's an action. It speaks of fellowship, something that we are to participate and be involved in, something we're to share together, and it means to have in common. It's not just about this communion, a dead memory, you see, but it's about a present reality that Jesus Christ was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that resurrection, because of that sacrifice, you see, we have entrance into a fellowship with Him. And in so doing, we are to walk as He walked. That's why the Bible says that Jesus said, you wait for the promise of the Father, who will then, the Holy Spirit, who will come upon you, and He will give you power to be witnesses. In other words, your walk, the way you behave, is going to change as a result of what you believe. Understand that? The way you behave is going to change, not because you're trying to get it together and clean it up, because you can't. That because you have believed and received the sacrifice and the communion that you share with Christ presently, guess what? The power of the Holy Spirit causes your walk and your talk to change daily. The priorities, the passion of your life. We're to be here in this communion service, recognizing that, guess what? We're here certainly corporately, but corporately, who do we represent? We are the body of Christ. And where two or more are gathered, He is what? He's in the midst. Guess what that tells me? I think there are a few more than two here. The Lord is present. He is here. The communion service speaks of Christmas present. Hey, He's here in our midst. And He wants to speak to us, and He wants to do wonders among us. He wants to work in us and through us and continue to transform us into the image of His Son. And then, of course, there's Christmas future that this also speaks of. How's that, you ask? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. What's the Lord telling us there? Every time we gather in this way to partake of communion, we preach. We preach about the death of Jesus Christ and what was accomplished there and the power of His resurrection. And we preach and proclaim that by this communion that the Lord is coming. He's coming. We preach it until He comes. We're to remember until He comes. That's a reminder. Hey, guess what? You're going to do this, and I don't want you to forget this, and I don't want you to forget what I've accomplished in you and through you and what I'm doing to you. But I also want you to remember what is at the end of it all, you see. You're going to do this until I come. I'm coming for you. Don't ever forget. I'm coming. If I go, you see, to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where you are, or that where I am, rather, you may be also. Don't forget that. The Lord is going to return. The Last Supper wasn't really the last, you see, ultimately, for the disciples of Jesus. Yes, it was the last on planet Earth, but Jesus told them, hey, I'm not going to eat of this again until when? I'm not going to drink of it again until when? until you come, until I take you into heaven. The marriage feast of the Lamb. I believe the table's being set presently. Revelation chapter 19 describes the scene. In verse 7 we read, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen and clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then He said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And He said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at His feet to worship Him. But He said to me, "See that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have testimony, the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Hey, don't forget. Prophecy, God has given us in His Word promises. He's told us what it was going to be like in these last days. He's given us His Word to tell us what's going to be occurring so that we're not surprised or shocked in any capacity about what's going on presently on planet Earth. Nor should we be. You see, the Lord's told us it was going to happen before it ever happened. You see, the day is coming when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. I don't know what kind of day you had today. I don't know what kind of week it's been. I don't know what kind of year it's been. But God does. And listen, your hope was never in that job or that house. It shouldn't have been. It should never have been in the economy and the stock market. Enjoy them. Invest in them, but don't rely on them. Because guess what? They're not reliable. There's only one that you can trust in, that you can cling to, and that you can rely on, that you can put your hope in, that you can wrap your heart up in, that will guarantees that will never leave you or forsake you, and His guarantees are solid. His promises will come to pass. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? Good news. Great news. If you've believed in Jesus Christ and received Him as your Lord and Savior, you are on your way to heaven. Amen. And though it may be difficult presently, listen, God's got a plan even in that difficulty to bring blessing to you, to strengthen and mature you spiritually, preparing you for eternity, that you might just enjoy heaven all the more, you see, because you've grown. God's got a plan and a purpose, and He's fulfilling that plan. Keep your eyes on Him. And don't forget that our past is forgiven and forgotten by the Lord. Or it can be if you've confessed your sin. And it is if you've confessed your sin to Him and received Him as your Lord and Savior. That our present is a gift of life. The life that we have presently is not our own. It's been bought with a price. And we need to serve Him with it. And that our future, listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know, listen, there's a lot of things I don't know about my future, but there's one thing I do know, and that is one day I will go home to be with the Lord for all eternity in heaven, in glory. And I'm looking forward to that day. So as we approach the table, remember Christmas past and what Jesus has done for us on that cross. Remember Christmas present and what He wants to do in your life. And the power that He's given you for life. And remember, Christmas future, one day we will be with Him in glory. Don't ever lose sight of that in the face of present difficulty. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for this time of communion and